Weddings are a celebration of finding the perfect fit. And with Indochino, you can design a custom suit made to your measurements. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any order of $399 or more.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. It's a Penn State invasion right now. My producer, Hot Take Hickey, always wears his Penn State gear each and every day on the other side of the glass. But now joining us is actually someone that contributed something to that fine institution, and that is Brendan Strange, who is an NFL draft prospect. And we're less than a month until the NFL draft gets underway. And I'm seeing right now, Brendan, who joins us in studio, you're getting mocked in the second round. Some pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, blessed to be in this position. It's kind of surreal just to be here. All the hard work, though, is paying off. And then once I get there, it's time to work even more.
Is it crazy how quickly this journey has gone? You get to Penn State, and now in 3 weeks, you're going to be hearing your name called at the NFL draft.
It's honestly unreal. Like yesterday, I was just thinking about it a little bit, and I just remember like driving with my mom for the last time, like getting dropped off at Penn State as a freshman, and that just seems like not long ago at all. So it's crazy to think about like how fast everything went. But it was amazing there. I had the best experience at Penn State for sure.
What did you expect? When you committed to Penn State, when you get dropped off freshman year, it's like, all right, goodbye, Mom. I'm going to do my thing at college. What were your expectations?
My expectations were high for sure. They've always been high for myself. I hold myself to a high standard, but I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know what the college life was. I didn't know how to adjust in the beginning, but once I got through that, everything was easy. I had some great vets in the room. I had great coaches to help me transition, so everything was real easy, but I didn't know what I was getting into at all.
I've been to Penn State a few times, and I didn't know what I was getting into either. And then you get dropped off at that Penn State Creamery, you get some ice cream, that's delicious, and then we ask this to every Penn State guest. Have you ever been to Are You Hungry, the sandwich shop on campus?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And some of those sandwiches, man, they could give you a heart attack. Like, excuse my language, everyone, but I got a fat bitch at Are You Hungry, which was steak, if I can remember this correctly, chicken fingers, and then Moz sticks fries on a sandwich, and fries as well. Oh, disgusting looking back at it. I don't know how I'm still here to this day. I'm assuming that if you went to Are You Hungry too many times, probably James Franklin would be moving you to tackle or something.
Yeah. I didn't go to Are You Hungry too many times. I visited a couple times my freshman year, but your favorite sandwich was mine too.
Oh, so. Yeah. Just don't tell the NFL draft about you.
Yeah.
How was the combine experience, by the way?
It was amazing. Like, I still look back on it, and it just seems fake almost. Like, going back and then looking at the videos and stuff, like the gauntlet drill that we did, and then, like, there's a couple more videos of me out there, but it just looks unreal. Like, that's just dreams coming true, and it's just awesome to be in this position and in this process and just going through everything. Been dreaming about this since I was a kid, so it's just amazing.
I like the NFL draft because clearly you get players like you that start your new journey, your professional journey, but the process does get a little ridiculous at times. Like, the combine, like you said, it doesn't even seem real at times, but then I feel as if they put too much emphasis on the combine. They don't look at the 3-4 years of tape that you were putting on.
Yeah, some guys, they go out there and they blow the combine up. But at the end of the day, it's all football. And I feel like I've had a lot of great tape, so I'm not really worried about that. And I put up solid numbers at the combine. But at the end of the day, we still play football. It's not track. It's not any of the just running out there in tights, wearing pads. It's a physical sport, and you're running everything on air. You're not doing any true blocking. So you go back and you look at my tape, I'm perfectly fine with that. But sometimes they kind of get a little too overexcited about the guys that put up the crazy numbers. But congrats to them, and hopefully they do it on the field too, you know?
Well, the dumb part to me is, like, last year it was Kenny Pickett. Oh, he has small hands. He's not going to be a good quarterback. Or Bryce Young. He was great at Alabama for an I'm watch, but he's too short to be an NFL quarterback. It's things like that, and you never know where the information is coming from. Is it being things being said so a player could fall, so a team could get them? But that part of the process is you see a guy that plays so well, and then all of a sudden, oh, his hands are this small, or no crap, Bryce Young isn't the tallest guy in the world. That's what bugs me.
Yeah, I never understood that either. Like, you see Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, they had great college careers, and then guys try to doubt them just because they're small or they have small hands. Like, it makes no sense. At the end of the day, football is football, and definitely those guys showed enough in their college careers to stamp where they are at now. So it's kind of honestly disrespectful, but I'm sure that those guys play with a chip on their shoulder and go hard because of it.
Brennan Strange here with us. So you look back at this season for Penn State. It was bizarre because when you have a player in the locker room like Drew Aller, who a lot of fans are excited to see, naturally the fan base goes, when is Drew going to get on the field? When is Drew going to get on the field? But Sean Clifford, who's been at Penn State forever, he's like the Perry Ellis of football as he was for Kansas basketball. He did a nice job this year for you guys, especially at the end in that Rose Bowl.
Yeah, he did a great job this year. Sean was one of the biggest leaders on our team vocally and on the field too. So Sean did a great job. But going back to with Drew, everyone's journey is different. So if he had to sit out a year and then goes and blows up next year, everyone's journey is different. That's something that Coach Franklin preaches a lot. Everybody goes through different things. Everybody goes through different hardships. And at the end, if you keep working hard, you keep your head down, you'll get to where you want to be.
We know we got Michigan, we got Ohio State in the Big Ten, and you guys have been that third team. People believe that Drew is just going to take off. What did you see being around Drew?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's expecting big things for him, but I mean, I don't think there's any pressure for him. I think if he just goes out there and bees himself, everything will be cool. He's a great athlete. He's a great football player, and he's a great person too. So I think if he just bees himself, then he'll just be just fine, and he'll be a great leader for Penn State football for the coming years.
Even though I like to poke fun at Penn State, when you go to that stadium and you see those 100,000 fans screaming, it is really surreal as Brennan Strange joins us. When did it hit you? When was like the holy crap moment? I can't believe that I'm a part of this.
Man, probably the first time we played. My first game at Penn State was Idaho, and I'm from West Virginia. I played high school football in West Virginia, but I'd never experienced anything like that, 110,000 people. But I guess even on the recruiting visits in 2018, I went to the Whiteout. They were playing Ohio State, and it was just unreal. And at that moment, like, I knew that I wanted to play on that stage. I wanted to be there and make plays in front of all those people. And that's when I knew Penn State just treated football different.
You talked about some people that influenced you earlier. Pat Freiermuth is clearly one of them, who's a heck of a tight end and is going to have a long career in the NFL, currently with the Steelers. What did he teach you, especially about the tight end position and just also Penn State?
Yeah, Pat, Nick Bowers, and all the other dudes that were in the room, they did a great job of helping me out if I had any trouble when I was a freshman. It just taught me how to prepare myself, and we did everything together as a tight end unit. It's kind of a tradition at Penn State that the tight ends do everything together. So what Pat taught me, what I taught the young guys now, and they're the leaders of the room, and they're going to carry that tradition on and on, and that's just what makes Penn State tight ends so special. That's why people say, oh, Penn State's just growing tight ends. Nah, we got a tradition there. We have schedule. We have routine. We know what we're doing there. So it's a blessing to be a part of a brotherhood like the Penn State tight ends.
We know how big the tight end position is in the NFL, and we've seen a guy like Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce recently take the league by storm. You go back to Gonzalez and Antonio Gates when you look at the last 20 years or so. If people have never seen you play at Penn State, what is an NFL team getting? What type of tight end are you?
They're getting a very versatile physical player. If you've never seen my tape before, I'm used in a lot of positions. Sometimes I go out there and I catch 2 touchdowns a week. Sometimes I don't catch the ball at all, and fans kind of look, they think that's crazy, but that's the beauty of a tight end. You're demanded to be to do a lot in your offense, and you're asked to do a lot. So I was asked to do a lot in Penn State's offense, and sometimes I didn't catch a ball in a game. Sometimes I caught 2 touchdowns, and that's just the beauty of being a tight end. You get asked to do everything, and versatile player, hardworking player, leader for sure.
Who were some of your favorite players growing up as a kid?
My favorite players growing up as a kid, I love Marshawn Lynch. I just love how physical he plays. Yeah, just how he runs.
You talk to the media
over
a little bit more than Marshawn does.
Yeah, I was just here so I don't get. Nah, I'm playing. Marshawn, I love that whole Seahawks team, Legion of Boom. Obviously, George Kittle now, he's a great player. Travis Kelce, great player. And then I watch a lot of Pat. Me and Pat talk a lot. So just guys like that. Steve Smith, talk a lot of smack. I talk a lot of smack when I'm out there. But It's because I'm passionate about the game. That's all it is.
So you big on the celebrations? We don't need to see you getting fined or anything, but yeah. I think that's a good part of pro football when you see the celebrations and guys like Kelce just lose their mind in the end zone.
Yeah, that's a part of the game. It's an emotional game, and that's what makes the sport so great is that guys are able to go out there and display their emotions, and that's just what makes the game so great.
What does James Franklin mean to you?
He means a lot to me. He's a big reason why I went to Penn State. I think that he's the most consistent person I've ever met. And it's kind of crazy to say, but I heard him say things that he said my freshman year. And he's very consistent. He's a great leader. And he doesn't develop players just on the field. He develops us off the field, too. I came in at Penn State as a boy, and I honestly to say, like, he helped me develop off the field into a man. So, He's a great person, great leader, and I'm thankful he let me be a part of the Penn State family.
What did he tell you freshman year that now you look back and you go, wow, he was right on?
A lot of things, honestly. It's not just one thing to pinpoint. I think if you live by we have core values at Penn State, positive attitude, great work ethic, compete in everything you do, and must be willing to sacrifice. He told us if you live by those, you'll get whatever you want. You'll in class, out of class, whatever it is, on the football field. So just living by those values every single day and pushing myself no matter how I was feeling, he told me I could get here, and I'm here now. So I appreciate him. I appreciate all the staff. They made my Penn State experience unforgettable, and it was the best time in my life so far. So,
Brandon Strange in studio with us. So many kids grow up, and they say they want to be a pro athlete. For you, now less than a month away from that becoming a reality, when was that first time that you actually thought, okay, this is something, it's more than what I just say I want to do. This is something that's going to be realistic for me.
I mean, I guess probably before my junior year when I started getting attention from colleges and stuff like that. But that was probably when I knew I could do it. But I've been thinking that I wanted to do this my whole entire life. Ever since I put on the pads, I knew I wanted to be a professional football player. But I don't think I realized the sacrifice, the hard work, and all the things that the great ones do to be great. And that's what I realize now, and I think that's why I am here. I'm a very hard worker, and I sacrifice a lot to be the best football player I can be.
Why was now the right time to leave Penn State and say, okay, this is the time to start this pro journey?
Yeah, so I'm about to graduate soon. Next year I'll graduate. I have an internship to do, and I'm just ready for it. I'm ready for new challenges. I'm ready to be on that NFL field. And like I said, it's a dream. Like, I've always been trying to attain this, reach this goal. So I'm ready for it. That's the only reason.
And you're quickly flying up the draft boards. Matt Miller, second round I saw earlier today. Todd McShay as well. This is what Todd McShay said. I dug into Strange's tape recently, and he's one of the most underrated players in this class. Despite mediocre production and combine results, he accelerates really well and can stretch the seam, and he's competitive as an inline blocker. Now, some of that was positive, and then with the draft process, you get a few shots here and there. When you hear someone like Todd McShay that does that for a living, does that matter to you? You don't really focus on that stuff.
I don't really focus on outside voices. I just focus on myself each and every day. If I get better every single day, then I know I'm going to be better than the next dude. But it's cool to hear things like that, but I know my process is my process, and if I keep working hard, I'll get what I want for sure.
Do you think you're the best tight end in this draft class?
Yeah, I think I'm the best tight end in this draft class, but I think that each and every guy that's in this draft class should say that they're the best tight end in this draft class, because if they don't have that type of confidence, then they're probably not going to be that good of a football player.
100% agree with you. Yeah. This is a loaded tight end draft class with
Most guys definitely. Like
Dalton Kincaid at Utah and the Mayor at Notre Dame. This is a deep draft class at your position.
Yeah, a lot of great players. And it was cool to go to the combine and meet those dudes that I've been like watching film on or played against. So and even past teammates like Zach Kuntz. It was cool to be around them and just meet them for the first time.
What has been some of the feedback you've been getting from NFL teams?
Like I said, I'm a versatile piece. I look at football like chess. You're just making a bunch of moves. And a lot of teams like that. I play the Y, I play the H, and I play fullback. And they just love how versatile I am. So that's the feedback that I've been getting. Everyone says I do great in the interviews. I know football. Like, Penn State prepared me for that. So everyone thinks the process of this stuff is hectic and everything. But at the end of the day, it's just ball. So, like, if you don't love ball, then it might be hectic for you. But, you know, I love ball, so all this stuff is easy.
How are you going to be spending this draft process? Like, When draft night comes, you know, you obviously have it on Thursday. If you don't go in the first round, then rounds 2 and 3, where you're being projected to go, are on Friday, just watching it with the family?
Yeah, probably just watching it with the fam. I really haven't got that far. I still have a couple more workouts, a couple more visits, Zoom interviews, and things of that such. So when the date gets closer, I'll figure that out, but still got some business to handle.
Are there, like, a few teams that have been in contact with you the most?
Yeah, a lot of teams. I've talked to basically every NFL team, so a lot of teams have been in contact with me a little bit more, but you don't know what's going to happen. You never do. I just remember when my friend was going through this process, Pat, and he thought a team was going to draft him, but they didn't end up getting him. So it's you don't know what's going to happen until they call your name.
It's also – it's a fun process, but it's also like a little bit of a nervous process, because right away you got to pick up, and I know it's part of the business. You got to move to a totally different city. You don't know if you're going East Coast, West Coast, middle of the country. Like, you have no clue where you're going to go.
Yeah, it's kind of – that's the crazy part about it. And going back to not knowing where you're going to go, that's – I mean, that's – I guess that's what kind of makes you a little anxious about everything, because, like, I live on the East Coast. If I'm out on the West Coast, then it's like, oh, man, not near any of my family or anything. But I'm here to play ball. So that's just how it is. I got to sacrifice some things to be great, and I know that.
I got to ask you about Will Levis, because we've had him on a few times this year, wrapped up his career at Kentucky, but at first was at Penn State. Outside of putting mayo in his coffee and some that bizarre stuff, what is an NFL team getting in Will Levis?
Yeah, first and foremost, he's a great athlete and a great leader. I think to be a good quarterback in the NFL, you have to be a great leader, and he has all of those traits that you want, and he has a cannon for an arm. He's a great person, great leader, and a great athlete. That's what they're getting. He's going to be big time for sure.
10 years from now, if we're having a conversation again, what does Brennan Strange accomplish in the NFL?
I mean, I'm not sure about that. I think that I'm going to accomplish a lot, but only God knows that. God has my story written already, but I know if I continue to put in the work, I continue to keep my head down, sacrifice, put in the hard work, then I get everything I want. And hopefully that's a couple Super Bowls, a couple Pro Bowls, and be able to set my family up generationally.
We see you so much on the field, away from the field. Mm-hmm. What do you do for fun? Like, what are your hobbies? What is Brennan Strange like away from the NFL field?
Yeah, I got a dog. I spend a lot of time with my dog.
What kind of dog?
Pitbull Debo. Yeah, okay. He's soft, though.
Quicker than Debo Samuel?
Debo. He like Debo from Friday, not Debo Samuel. He's cool. Play a lot of fetch. I love to play video games. And honestly, just really relax and hang out and chill. Spend family time. That's who I am. I'm a real laid back person. Football, that's my life. My life revolves around that. So when I'm not doing football, I just like to relax.
Meal wise, we started this conversation off with food. Mm-hmm. Ideal meal. What is it for Brennan Strange?
Man, so I've been trying to get better with this. This is something that I need to improve on, because you know, in college, like sometimes it's late night, you got that homework due. You got to go
like
get that.
Pig.
Yeah, you got to go get that McDonald's. So I've been trying to improve my nutrition. So I'm really trying to change my ways and stay away from all the fatty junk foods and all that. So
no more fat bitches that are hungry.
Yeah, no more. Staying away from them. But I don't know. I like chicken. My probably favorite meal is chicken, Big Mac and cheese, and yams. Yeah, yams.
Can't go wrong with some good mac and cheese and some good chicken, too.
Yeah.
Before we let you run, I want to ask you about one more of your teammates, Joey Porter Jr. Mm. So much has obviously been documented with his family and then his play as well. What's the team getting with Joey?
That's my dog, first and foremost. But, I mean, obviously he's 6'4". He's very lengthy. He's a physical corner, and he's a great one-on-one press corner, zone corner, whatever it is. So a team's getting the full package in Joey Porter, and I'm excited to see what he does in the league, because I know that he's going to be great.
Well, good luck. I really do appreciate you coming on in, and we hope to see your name called very early in this upcoming NFL draft.
Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I saw the other day that Cam was doing an interview. Was this on his – does he have a podcast, Hickey? I'm assuming this is where it was.
I don't think it was his per se. I think it was maybe the Pivot, but I'm not 100% sure. I got to double check.
All right. The only reason why I think that is I saw the writing in the background. It is how Cam usually puts all the writing out on Instagram in that special text. and that was the background of where he was talking. Just I remember when I was seeing it. So regardless, Hickey will find out where it was. But Cam said he would accept being a QB, a backup QB, for only certain QBs. And those QBs are Deshaun Watson, Sam Howell, Malik Willis, Justin Fields, Tua Tagovailoa, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, and then three of the younger quarterbacks that are about to get drafted in C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson. If we had to go through all those quarterbacks, if you look at the situation that they're in, so for example, if he wants to go to Cleveland and back up Deshaun Watson, right now they have Joshua Dobbs as a second string quarterback. I don't think, and the Kellen Mond's their third string quarterback. I don't think the Browns are going to bring in Cam to just be the backup quarterback. Then you look at Sam Howell. Hickey, if the Commanders, who've had like four chances to bring him in, haven't brought him in yet, and Ron Rivera knows him better than anybody, even if you could make the case for it, I don't think the Commanders are doing it. Malik Willis with the Titans. Is Malik's not even going to be the starter.
It's going to be Ryan Tannehill again.
Yeah.
Unless they trade him in a shocking trade.
Justin Fields in Chicago. All right, if you want to tell me he's going to be the backup in Chicago, I guess I could see that. But they just signed P.J. Walker. So it feels like they've already made their decision as well. You go through all these teams. Tua, if I'm Cam, I know why you want to go to Miami and back up Tua. It's because you don't trust that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be healthy. But they just signed Mike White. So it's like, I don't see a destination where if Cam wants to be a backup quarterback that he's going to go to, like the Eagles. They just signed Mariota. We don't even know if Lamar Jackson's going to be with the Ravens. The Jets, it looks like they're going to hold on to Zach Wilson. Could you imagine in New York? Aaron Rodgers and Cam in the same locker room.
That would be a lot of fun for the tabloids. The reporters would love that.
The last time that I remember that a backup quarterback was like a big deal, and I'm not talking about a time where like Nick Foles is taking over for Carson Wentz, because then you are the starting quarterback. Tim Tebow. Right? And like the last time a backup quarterback has been a big deal, Tim Tebow, where there's media availabilities because so many people want to talk to the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like there's not press conferences for backup quarterbacks unless you are Tim Tebow and Cam.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, or Anthony Richardson, it's like, let's assume Stroud goes one to the Panthers, or even if Young goes to the Panthers and Stroud goes to the Texans, because that's how we think it's going to be 1-2. I don't think either of those organizations are going to do it. And if a team is landing Anthony Richardson, it's probably like the Raiders or Tennessee or Indianapolis. And you're going to bring Cam in to be what? Like a placeholder for 6-7 games? I don't think so. You know what the role is for Cam? You know where Cam should be next year if he really wants to play football, Hickey? And I know you've been harsher on Cam than I've been. I've acknowledged he's not a starting quarterback anymore. You said he's not a third-string quarterback anymore, that you don't think there's any place for him. I think that's to say that there's not he can't be a third-string quarterback. He could definitely be a backup quarterback in this league. But I think at this rate, Cam needs to be like a package type of quarterback where there's certain packages in the game where if he's willing to embrace this role, you could use him. Like, remember when he came back and that first game when it was P.J. Walker who got the start when he returned to Carolina and they were out in the desert in Arizona and he had the two rushing touchdowns? I think there's like a role for Cam in like a place like Kansas City where you have a creative offensive mind in Andy Reid and you could bring Cam in to run goal line packages. Not that he's taking Mahomes off the field, but you put Cam in the backfield and you could use Cam in a goal line package where there's that threat that if he gets the ball, he could run it or he could throw it. We saw how they used Kadarius Toney so quickly. And you look at that Kansas City roster, even though Mahomes is a stud and you have Travis Kelce, like outside of that, their offense, You got Isaiah Pacheco. You got Kadarius Toney. You have also, well, Juju's gone, but you have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore. I would think a player like Cam, if he really wants to play, could still be used, but in more of that role of you bring him in on like goal line situations or short yardage situations as well. Like, for example, if you're on a third and one, especially since they didn't get rid of the, what is it called? The tush push rule?
Yeah. Still around.
Put Cam in and you just push him. That's the way that I would use Cam now if I was a team. I do think there's still a role for Cam in the NFL, and that's where we've gone to at this point.
And would Cam even take that? Would he take the role of almost like a Taysom Hill gadget player and a tush-push expert?
Well, he's finally saying that he's willing to be a backup quarterback for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 players. So I would have to think in some capacity that he'd be willing to do that. But also, you don't know what the motives are with those players. Like, Watson doesn't make sense. Willis doesn't make sense. Fields doesn't make sense. Allen, if you're banking on him getting hurt, okay. Hurts doesn't really make sense. Lamar, I could see it because you don't even know if he's going to be on the team. Rodgers makes no sense. The younger quarterbacks, Stroud, Young, and Richardson, doesn't really make sense. So, like, you go through that. The two spots that if I'm Cam, and my goal is to still start games at the quarterback spot, I would say it's the Commanders, and then it would be the Dolphins. Because you would think that Tua, unfortunately, is going to suffer another concussion. And for Sam Howell, you're banking on him not working out well. And then, even though Ron has said no to you in bringing you into that organization, if you are there, I think Ron may have a tough time saying no if you're in that building with how much that relationship is. But I don't think Cam's a starting quarterback, to be clear, anymore in the NFL. But I do think there's still a role if you want to use him for goal line situations and tush push.
What
a weird phrase that is, by the way. Tush push.
Better than the bush push. I just don't think he would be accepting of that minuscule role.
By the way, do you have the Charles Barkley audio? Were you able to grab that? No?
Give me 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Marco, did you hear this Charles Barkley soap audio just wondering from the other night?
Oh, yeah. I pulled it last night.
Yeah.
It's in there.
Are you a bar soap guy still?
I do use the bar soap, yes.
Oh, so you're old school.
Yeah.
I use body wash.
Yeah, I don't dig the feel of whatever that thing is called. What was that thing called? Like the body wash we would put it, whatever the sponge thing is. Mm-hmm. I don't like that feel of it. I don't dig it.
What do you mean?
I don't dig it. It's got like, I don't know. It's got like a rough feel to it, to the fingers. I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
Don't dig it.
Yeah, I used to be a bar of soap guy when I was younger. And then I went to just body wash. Yeah, body wash getting expensive, by the way. Especially when you buy it in New York City.
Is it? See, yeah. That I'm unaware of. I know the wife uses that stuff, but that's not mm-hmm. my thing.
So you have bar soap in your shower, and then there's body wash.
And whatever she's got. Yeah, I'm very, you know, I'm simple. The bar of soap and the shampoo, that's mine, and everything else in there, that's all hers.
Yeah, only Charles Barkley could produce that that TV from last night. We got this, Hickey? Go ahead. This is on NBA on TNT last night.
You know I travel with my own soap. You knew that, didn't you?
No.
I travel with a big bar of soap. I love soap.
Why? Are you afraid it's not going to be in the hotel?
They started,
is there a reason?
Yes, they started.
Dermatologically that you need specific soap?
Because these hotels started being cheap. Those bars ain't big enough. Because I almost had a couple accidents with the soap in hotels.
In what way?
Well, when I was washing a part of my body, I almost had a little incident.
What the heck are you talking about?
I almost had a little incident with those lip bars of soap.
Almost lose it?
I almost lost it. And I was like, whoa, that was too close for comfort. So now I travel with my own big bars of soap.
Now, Marco, you still use the bar of soap. Have you ever almost lost the bar of soap in your tushy?
No, that's never happened.
I'm assuming he's talking about his tushy.
We would assume so. Yeah, I will say, though, the little tiny little squares of soap in the hotel, they do suck. It is a little bit of a pain in the ass.
So as I said, I am a body wash guy, but when I go to a hotel and they sometimes have the shampoo, the conditioner, and the body wash on the wall and mm-hmm. you just press it mm-hmm. and it mm-hmm. and it comes on out, I don't like that type of body wash, soap, and conditioner that's coming out of that machine. So then I will use, like the other weekend I was in a hotel for a wedding, I will use a bar of soap. And when I opened up the bar of soap in the hotel, it was small.
They're tiny. They're almost like little mints.
Now, I didn't need to put on a scuba diving mask and try to search for it.
Well, yeah.
But it was a small
Charles can
bar
give
soap.
Us that, yes. But, I mean, in that regard, he's very right. It almost looks like a little, you know, little chocolate candy in a little candy dish when you're looking in the shower.
Oh, man, I hope your kids don't think it's candy after Marco Valletti uses the bar of soap.
I didn't know where you were going there with the chocolate. Yeah. Seems a bit much.
I don't know. We're covered up.
No.
But Marco, this year, Charles Barkley has given us two gems in the last month.
I was going to say two.
Yeah. Okay. The bar soap.
Yeah.
Before that, a few weeks ago, do you remember where he said when they would go from one city to the next and they would sleep in the hotel, like let's say they were playing in Atlanta and they would be flying out to Phoenix, that when they would have to get on the flight early the next day, he would wash his clothes on himself when he would go into the shower.
Yeah, wash the clothes while he's showering. Right.
Yeah.
And Clark Kellogg lost his mind.
Oh, yeah, I was on the NCAA tournament coverage.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
And Kenny the Jetsman said, that's not true. That never happened.
Well, it could have been for Charles. Yeah. I don't think it was true for everybody else.
They still had
washing machines. This was not 1906.
Yeah, he's got to be one of the more interesting people on the planet, Charles Barkley.
I would think so. I've never met the man. But yes, I would think so.
I would say Jack Stern is also up there as well. Our Jack Stern. Very interesting.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay.
I'll leave that alone. 855-212-4CBS.
Whenever Marco agrees with something and he doesn't want to trash them when he just goes, yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone. Let's go to David in Buffalo real quickly. David, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. Just want to jump in here about the Masters and talk about this tournament. You know, I think the thing you really have to look at with Brooks Koepka is, you know, I work in the golf business myself, and, you know, I've talked to some people who've spent some time with Koepka, and they said actually away from the, you know, like the Netflix thing and away from the tournaments, he's actually a really good guy. If you look at his career, he really had to fight his way onto the tour, playing over in Europe on the Challenge Tour, playing overseas a lot. And I think, to me, you know, this whole LIV thing, to me, I think he relishes this because he's the face of that organization right now. Let's face it, Mickelson's been a disappointment. Dustin Johnson, I think, is not that interested. He's there for a paycheck. The rest of these guys are you know, at
but
the
David,
end of their career.
But, David, the face of what? LIV Golf has been irrelevant.
Well, yeah, it has been. But in reality, they're paying him $125 million.
Yeah.
So they want he's won four majors, so they're saying they want him to be the face of this. So if he goes out and wins, he would be the guy that they're going to market and say he's their best player.
David, appreciate the phone call. I don't know where you stand on this, Marco. And I asked this question to Rex Hoggett earlier from the Golf Channel. I said if Brooks Koepka wins the next 2 days and wins the green jacket at the Masters, is the story a LIV Golf guy won or Brooks Koepka is back?
Brooks Koepka is back. I don't think the LIV Golf thing is, it doesn't have the legs right now. And I think the guys did a nice job of, maybe it's because it's Augusta, maybe it's because it's the Masters, maybe it's because the first major, but we're not hearing. It's not like it's been the big war of PGA LIV right now.
And also, when it first came onto the scene, people were like, this is a threat to the PGA Tour. It clearly, I know you lose golfers,
right.
But it has been so irrelevant.
Yeah, and again, I still feel like however long this is going to be, however how much time it's going to take, I do feel like LIV will eventually go away.
Yeah.
I don't see this as sustaining. They can't spend the money that they're spending. I realize it's coming from a fountain.
Saudi money. Yeah.
I get it. But the money that they're spending without any of...
results.
I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no commercials, there's no sponsors, there's nothing there. There's no substance to it. So eventually it's going to go away, and I think the PGA will get what they want, which is some of the things that they like about LIV Golf that they'll be able to take and incorporate into their game, and eventually LIV goes away.
And I think what we've seen in this short sample size, like I was with you, I said that this is going, the story is Brooks is back to me. Hickey said the same thing. David, who's in the golf business, that just called us, and then Rex Hoggard, who covers golf for a living. I think to the golf purists, it may be, all high and mighty, the story, because that's what Rex basically said. He goes, it shouldn't be the story, but he does think the story will be LIV Golf. I think if you're a golf purist, than it will be LIV Golf. But for guys like us that watch the majors and a few other tournaments and here and there enjoy to play and maybe go to an event if it's in the area, things like that, I think for us it's okay. I've like already forgotten about LIV Golf in a way because it's just been so relevant. I don't have the same animosity as I did a year ago. Out of sight, out of mind, where now it's okay, Brooks is back. That was really cool.
And again, maybe we find out in a different tournament and if they're at each other's throats and it's in front of our face a little bit more like it was a year ago or 6 months ago, whatever it is, maybe then it becomes that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not. It's not at the forefront. So right now, it's about, oh, man, Brooks Koepka looks like Brooks Koepka again. That is what's there. That's what everybody's looking at. And when he puts on the green jacket, I don't think our minds are going to go to, assuming he wins, go to the LIV Golf thing. I think it's going to stay with, man, he was dominant.
And you know that there will be people that will get on their high horse and
that's fine.
We'll do the lecturing as we did a year ago and we'll say, oh, you shouldn't be celebrating Brooks. He took blood money and all that. And right. You know that's going to happen.
And again, maybe it's different if we wind up seeing this in the forefront for the next major or for, you know, the one after that. Whatever it is, maybe this comes back. But right now at Augusta, there's no feel for that. There's no vitriol right now. Everybody's doing a nice job of basically singing Kumbaya at Augusta and trying to let the Masters play out. So if that's the case, then we're going to wind up with the tournament on Sunday, and that's going to be what people are talking about.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
So Garrett Mitchell of the Brewers, who walked it off against the Mets the other day, was talking to Bally Sports Wisconsin afterwards, and he said, my wife doesn't show up to the games. Usually something good happens. She's not here, so might as well do something fun. His wife, who is a professional softball player, Haley Cruz Mitchell, ended up saying, you will not say this to my face, and then went on to say, I missed the game because I was busy stocking his fridge. Savage responses. Love it by Haley Cruz Mitchell. Give her a stock up. Caleb Love, we knew, was leaving UNC. Now he is joining the Michigan Wolverines. See if he got Hunter Dickinson back, but give Caleb Love a stock up. Tomorrow we talk about the big UFC 287 event. Well, before that, we have the Frozen Four Championship, Quinnipiac against Minnesota. That's going to be a great final. Can't wait to watch it. Give a stock up to both those programs. Hickey, did you see who got engaged this evening?
Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm. To Olivia Culpa. How great is it to be Run CMC? Stud athlete and you're getting married to Olivia Culpa. Give him, Run CMC, a stock up. Get away from the Panthers. You go to the Niners. And look who you get engaged to. Not a bad time to be Run CMC. And finally, Travis Kelce maybe had one of the worst ceremonial first pitches that we've ever seen. This was in Cincinnati, right?
Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. This was horrible. Really bad. I almost think it was staged because we've seen like models and rappers and comedians have bad ceremonial first pitches. Usually don't see athletes have horrendous ceremonial first pitches. I almost think this is staged, Hickey, especially when he runs afterwards. I think it was Shane Bieber, right? That was catching it. I kind of think he did this for the pub.
I think it was real.
That bad?
I think it was real. It went probably 40 feet. It didn't even make the infield dirt.
Spiked it.
Hit the grass.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I got to give a stock down to Travis Kelce. And finally, a very popular radio show is coming up at 2 a.m. Eastern time. Can I hear the imaging for that show?
It's the Belch Take Hickey Show.
Sorry about that. I think it just went over there. My apologies. That was a burp that slipped out. My bad.
Laugh at the hot takes, but beware of the burps. With Ryan Hot Take Hickey, only on CBS Sports Radio.
My bad.
Oh, Hickey, that belch at the end. Jeez. Got to give the stock up to Hickey. Being a good sport this week.
I almost didn't have the up sound already. I thought this was going to be a down one. Shocked me there.
Got to end the Friday, end the week out on a good note. All righty. We will be back on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. JR is coming up next. Big sports weekend, UFC 287. You got baseball, the Masters, Frozen Four. Going to be a whole lot of fun. NBA winding down. Luka playing a quarter, then playing a little of the second quarter, then getting yanked out of the game. Just stupid. You know what? I said I was going to end in a positive note. Stock down to the Mavs. All right, we out. Bye-bye. Peace. Hey!